Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for January 18th, 2019. And if you'd like to call into the show today, you can do that at 541-299-0498, or you can send an email to feedback@943thebridge.com. Just put Rogue Talk in the subject line, and that will come right to me here in the studio. And you can also look us up on Facebook, at Rogue Talk on Facebook, and you can message the show through Facebook, or you can post on the site as well. And so we're going to do things a little different today. My featured guests, and it's a few of them, I got four of them in here today, are from the Rogue River chapter of the FFA. And of course, we always have them in every year. And that usually when they're here, it means their beef feed is coming up. So we're going to talk about that. But we're going to jump right into the interviews, and we'll try and get to a little bit of news and sports at the end of the show. And so the first two of these students that are joining me for today's show are Andy Herrings and Laura Howard, and they're a couple of seniors in the FFA program. Welcome to Rogue Talk, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And so I wanted to talk to you first because you are a couple of the seniors in the program, so you've probably had the most experience with the FFA, and I thought we'd get to know you a little bit, and we can talk about how FFA has been a positive influence, I'm assuming, in your life, and hopefully you don't say differently, or Miss Bambino might yell at me. So let's start with you, Laura. How many years have you been in the FFA program?
Four. I started as a freshman, so my freshman year, I just started off trying out new things, and then I became an officer my junior year, and I'm currently serving as chapter president right now. So 4 years for me.
All right. And I hope I introduced them both properly. This is Laura Howard, and we're also talking to Andy Herrings. And we were talking off air. A little funny story. When I was first started broadcasting basketball, I was mispronouncing Andy's name. And if you've seen Herrings spelled out, it's not the easiest name. And I was cheating a little bit, changing it to make it easy because I didn't know how to pronounce it. And his dad came to me and was very nice about saying, "Hey, you know what? I'll tell you how to pronounce that name." And so we try and get it right now, and I probably still say it wrong, so we'll we'll keep with that. So, Andy, what got you into FFA?
Well, you know, I work on a farm back at my house, so it's just kind of come natural to me. I work with pigs and sheep and cows, so it's just kind of like, you know, just came naturally. I just decided to try it freshman year, and I know both my parents went through FFA, and they all loved it, and they kind of told me all the stories and the fun they've had, and I just thought I'd give it a go. And I started off kind of shaky. I wasn't too fond of it. I was working with Herringshaw back and forth, doing different things, and then I started doing some competitions. I did soils my freshman year. I just loved it, and I've just stuck with it for the past 4 years, and now here I am serving as a chapter vice president, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah, and one of the things I've come to know about FFA because, well, for one reason, and Mr. Herringshaw is a big part of this, is our FFA program at Rogue River has just become huge. I think is it a third of the students or a half? I mean,
just about. We have like 150 plus members right now, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, that's really close to half the school practically, mm-hmm. and that's huge. And I grew up in more of a suburban environment, and we had an FFA program, but I knew nothing about it, and I wasn't really, although my job, I did some things you guys might do with FFA. I didn't know that at the time, and so I was in FBLA, and you guys have had an FBLA program, although I think it's struggled the last couple of years in the numbers, and but I kind of saw FBLA was the white collar version of FFA. You know, it was the pencils and pads and instead of the dirt and the welding and whatever. And now, as someone on the other side of it, interviewing you kids that are doing this, I'm seeing, I wish I had discovered FFA when I was a kid, because this is the kind of stuff that, it's the same life skills. It's, you guys are learning, you're giving speeches, and you're learning to do all the same things you learn in something like FBLA, but then it's related to the down-to-earth things that most of us are involved in. I did a lot of welding in my early years. I was involved with hydraulics and those kinds of things. And I know you don't get into those specifically, but those are the kind of life skills that you're focusing on with FFA. You mentioned, Andy, the soils. You were in the soils competition. Yeah. You know, those are things that us real people in the real world, that they relate to our lives. Mm-hmm. So I've just been super excited these last few years watching the program grow. You know, you brought on Miss Bambino. You needed a second instructor because it got so big. And I just love seeing where it's going. So tell us a little bit about the competitions that you've done personally. And we'll start with you, Laura.
Okay. So when I started out freshman year, I did a few different competitions. Soil judging I've done every year. It's probably one of my favorites. Public speaking was a huge theme for me. If you knew me as a freshman, I was shy as can be. And Mr. Herringshaw told my parents in parent-teacher conferences that I was going to do creed speaking. So I did creed speaking, and I did not like it. But he kept getting me to do creed speaking, well, different public speaking competitions. And now I'm talking with you on the radio, and I'm chapter president, stuff like that. So public speaking has made probably the biggest impact on me. But I've done a bunch of different competitions, ad sales, vet science, forestry. Both Andy and I do forestry, and I know that's my personal favorite, and Andy likes that one too. So those are just a few of the competitions I do, but there's endless opportunities.
Yeah, and I'll say that the public speaking thing, you mention it, and it, first of all, it's a great point of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. That Laura's a pretty quiet person as it is, but that vocal side of her has come out the last couple of years, and this is exactly why. You know, it's funny, if we put Laura into WWE, she would probably be the librarian or something, because she would sneak up on people. But but yeah, it I can see the growth, and I definitely would say this is the main reason for that. So how about you, Andy? What are the competitions you've been involved in?
Well, me and Laura have been pretty much companions on all teams together. We've done ag sales together freshman year all the way through. Well, she doesn't really like Parley Pro, but I've done Parley Pro for the past 3 years. And Parley Pro is actually kind of a cool competition. You get to verbally beat someone down with facts and tell them why they're wrong.
And for those that don't know the shorthand, that would be short for parliamentary procedure.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's another common one to other organizations like FBLA. And yeah, that would have been one I would have loved to be in too, is people that listen to this show regularly know when I don't have a guest in here, I usually get off on politics a little bit. So yeah, I would have enjoyed beating people down with your arguments.
See, yeah, that parliamentary procedure is actually a pretty cool skill you need in life. If you need to learn how to effectively run a meeting, it's a great way to learn step by step what you need to do to make a motion, amendments, how to pass different things that have been laid on the table and such things like that. It's a good life skill as well.
Yeah, and it shows how serious they take it in the FBLA, because I've been to the awards banquet the last 2 years, and in fact last year they surprised me with an award, and I'm like, you don't need to give me an award to do exactly what I love to do, which is hanging out with the high school kids. I live for that. That's why I do the sports games, and you know why I did the scoreboard for all those years. I just like to be around that energy that you get from young people, and I mean, I'm talking to two young people, but it's infectious, and I love that. So it was like, I don't need an award for this. I love being a part of this FFA program. But anyhow, when you go to these events, the meeting goes off, I mean, I'm sure you guys make mistakes in the schedule and whatever. Mm. We don't see it. It goes off like clockwork. I mean, you can just tell it's very well planned out. You go through all of the you know, proper ways to start a meeting and to conduct a meeting and to end a meeting. And so, yeah, it's impressive how well you guys have learned that kind of thing, because, like I said, those awards ceremonies, and they're fun. It doesn't take any of the fun out of it, but they keep the structure going. So you guys have definitely learned those lessons too. So is there any other of the competitions you do?
Yeah, I also do forestry, which I love just being in the woods. It's super fun. It's cool to see how different logging practices affect real world situations today, how to like identify different tree species out in the nature. It's just quite interesting to me.
Yeah, and again, not to make it about myself, but my day job is landscaping, and I struggle with tree identification, and I've been doing it for 20 years, and it's again, I wish I had been involved with that in high school, because it's something that would have served me all of these years later. So that's great. So let's talk a little bit about, because we don't have a ton of time. We've got to get Andy off to basketball here pretty quick. So Laura's going to stay for the next segment. But let's talk about college. Are both of you planning on going to college?
Yeah, I actually am planning on going to RCC here coming up in the, I'm not really sure what term yet, but it's in the plans.
And do you know what you would like to major in? Is it related to agriculture, or is it going to be something different?
I believe I'm going to take the path of more fire science to become a firefighter.
That sounds good. And that's, I mean, not only is that a great job to have, but it's a noble position. I have a lot of respect for people that do those first responder jobs for one reason. It's something I wasn't either willing or able to do. And like, for instance, I couldn't be an EMT. I squirm when I get a shot or have blood drawn. I don't mind the pain, and usually it doesn't hurt that much, but I can't watch. So I could never be an EMT or a firefighter, because I couldn't deal with, you know, I don't mind kicking down doors and putting out fires, but when you have to deal with that medical emergency, I'm out. So I've got total respect for that, and I hope you do well with that. I think that's a great endeavor.
Yeah, one of the reasons I kind of picked to go through a firefighting career is I like helping people, and I think FFA has really shown me that I like helping people through tough times. Like, we just did this help adopt a family over the past few months, and we helped get food and different supplies to help out families over the holidays that are in need, and it felt good to me to help out. And it just kind of has shown me the path that I want to take is just to help people. It's a generally good feeling for me, just to feel like I have a part in that.
Yeah, and I really like that. And are there other school involved activities that you've been involved with where you've gotten to do more of that?
Well, being on the basketball team, it shows me how to work together as a team, and in the fire department is usually a crew of three or four, and you have to be able to work with them quite well and fluid, like, to make sure everything gets done in order through different situations I've been in. Has just shown me I can do that, and I can be an effective leader, and I can help out in the real world situations.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you recognize that what you're learning in FFA and what you're learning playing sports translates into what you're going to do as a career. And when you get to that firefighting career, it's not only that working together makes you do the job better, but in certain situations, you've got each other's lives in your hands. And it impresses me that you see that correlation, because, you know, I've been a coach and I've had other opportunities to interact, you know, with kids. And that's, you know, we talked about this with the baseball coach, Coach Matsuk. When we're coaching, we're not just trying to win games. We're trying to develop humans that are better humans, whether it's boys or girls. And in his case, it was develop men to be better men, better fathers. And it's nice for me to hear you as a high school senior understanding that correlation between those activities and your life in the future. So I think you're going to do great just because you understand the importance of all of that.
Right, right.
So Laura, what about you? What are your plans for college?
Yeah, well, like Andy, I came from a firefighting family, and my brother, from the day he was born, he knew he was going to be a firefighter, but I have no clue, and people have told me that's okay, so I'm saying it's okay, but we, both Andy and I, our FFA leadership team is very service-orientated, and we try and, like, as we go throughout the year, we try and focus on our members rather than us. So I know that I want to go into a service career, but I know I can't do anything medical. I just couldn't handle that. So agriculture is definitely a passion of mine through FFA and working summers on my grandparents' farm. So I've considered agriculture, but also teaching. Just so many different teachers in my life have had such an impact on me, especially Mr. Herrenshaw and Ms. Bambino. So teaching, education, agriculture, probably not agriculture education, I don't know why, but agriculture and education are two things I'm considering. I'll probably go to RCC the first year and try and figure it out, but yeah, those are the two ones I'm looking at.
Well, and the biggest thing I'm hearing between the two of you, you're both talking about community college, and I've got to say, I have a daughter that went straight to four-year college, mm-hmm. and she came back for sophomore year and went to the community college for a year and then went back and finished her degree. And I like that you're recognizing that, you know, you don't have to rush off to four-year college. If that's your plan, if you really know, I mean, one of my daughter's friends knew from probably middle school, she wanted to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. So she knew what her plan was and she was going to go do it. But if you don't have that plan, I love that you guys are mature enough to go, you know, I can go to community college to start out, and I may never end up in four-year college. It doesn't have to be that way, and it doesn't take away from four-year college. If that's what's necessary for your career, that's what you go do. But I love the maturity that you're both showing that, you know what, my path is, like Andy, your path is through the community college. You don't need to go to a four-year college to become a firefighter.
Correct.
And in your case, Laura, you're still exploring. You don't know what you want to do. Miss Bambino's job's looking pretty good, so watch out. Here she comes. But again, I like the approach. So, well, one of the reasons, of course, we brought the FBLA kids in today was to talk about the beef feed. And I think we'll promote that a little more in the next break, because Laura's going to stay here. Andy's going to have to take off. But, you know, I'm really glad that you both came in. I got to talk to you here. The FFA program at Rogue River is great. And I'm making this kind of a send-off, like I said, because Andy's got to go. But Laura's going to join us after mm-hmm. the break, and we'll talk more about Rogue River FFA, and we will talk about their upcoming, the big fundraiser of the year, the Rogue River Beef Feed. So I will say to you, Andy, thank you for coming in today, and it's been great having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. It was a pleasure being here.
Yeah, thank you, and good luck in the future, and good luck at the games tonight, too.
Thank you.
So we will take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump is to hold a second summit with the leader of North Korea near the end of February to try to coax the North to give up its nuclear program. The announcement came at the White House Friday after Mr. Trump met with a North Korean envoy. The president had his first historic meeting with Kim Jong-un last June in Singapore. One of former Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke's daughters spoke during his sentencing hearing and blamed the media for shaming police officers for losing their jobs. Kaylee Van Dyke told the court Friday she thinks the media twists events, making people create negative thoughts. She also said she regrets all the times she didn't hug her father. Jason Van Dyke was convicted of second-degree murder and aggravated battery in the 2014 shooting death of black teenager Laquan McDonald. On Wall Street, the Dow by 336 points. This is SRN News.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news.
You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going straight to the NBA scoreboard from Thursday. Let's start with LA and Oklahoma City.
The Los Angeles Lakers beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 138-128 in overtime. Forward Kyle Kuzma topped all scores with 32 points and 8 rebounds for the Lakers. Ivica Zubac had 26 points and 12 rebounds off the LA bench. Paul George paced Thunder scores with 27 points, also 8 assists. Russell Westbrook was one board shy of a triple-double with 26 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds for OKC. The Lakers improved at 25-21 with the win. The Thunder fall at 26-18. Brian Henderson, Oklahoma City.
Elsewhere yesterday was Denver over the Bulls 135-105, Toronto 111, Phoenix 109. The Sixers beat Indiana 120-96. It was Charlotte over the Kings 114-95. And the Washington Wizards edged the Knicks 101-100. This is SRN Sports. AP Top 25 College Basketball from yesterday. Number 5, Gonzaga beat Loyola Marymount 73-55. Number 6, Michigan State over Nebraska 70-64. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Bruins 5, Blues 2. The Islanders over the Devils 4-1. Rangers 4, Blackhawks 3. The Maple Leafs beat the Lightning 4-2. It was the Ducks 3, Minnesota nothing. Jets over Nashville 5-1. Kings 2 and Dallas 1. Baseball news, a person familiar with negotiations says reliever Adam Ottavino and the New York Yankees have agreed to a $27 million three-year contract. The 33-year-old right-hander had a career-high 112 strikeouts in 77 and two-thirds innings last year for Colorado. NFL news, the Seattle Seahawks are giving quarterback Paxton Lynch another chance. Lynch's signing throws the former first-round pick directly into the mix as a potential backup for Russell Wilson. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And we sent Andy on his way, and Laura Howard is still here with us, but also joining us in the studio now, Ashley Drake and Gabe Tambellini. Welcome to Rogue Talk, guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us here today.
Especially.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so a little technical difficulty there. The control room is kind of crowded today, so I have trouble finding the buttons. But anyhow, so we were talking to Laura and Andy, and we talked a lot to them about their future plans and all the things they've done in FFA. And so before we get to the main event, which is talking about the beef feed coming up, let's get to know you two a little bit. So let's start with you, Ashley. You're a senior, that's right?
Correct, yes.
So tell us a little about you. I know you're a transfer from another school, so let's hear about that.
Yeah, I actually transferred after my sophomore year over from South Medford High School. So junior year was the first year for me. Came right into school registration day, and Sam Herringshaw, he was the very first person I talked to that day, actually. And I told him, I was like, hey, I want to be an FFA. How do I do that? And he helped me right then and there get enrolled for the classes that I needed to. Last year, I tried to participate as much as I could, but obviously switching schools was a little bit harder on me. And this year, fresh start, I was like, you know what? I need to participate more. I need to get more involved. And everyone, all the members, Mr. Herringshaw and Ms. Bambino have both helped me tremendously getting on track for going to college. And my major thing that I'm taking part in this year is actually raising a steer to take to Jackson County Fair. Little bit of plans after high school. I'm hoping to go to RCC, get all my prerequisites done, and then get a transfer degree over to OSU to continue a career in agriculture education.
So FFA is a perfect fit for you.
Yes,
then.
Exactly.
That's excellent. And so I'm going to go out on a limb here, and hopefully I don't get myself in trouble, but how have you been? We get a lot of new students at Rogue River, and how have you been accepted at Rogue River? Have they just been horrible? I mean, these two here, they can be pretty tough on people, but
no,
especially Laura.
It's never been a bad experience there. The whole change was, though, you know, I grew up in Medford my whole entire life. So going from a school that's, about 1,000 kids plus to go into a school that's only about 250 kids. That was the huge thing. But they accepted me more than, you know, the larger school did, surprisingly. It was more sports-based over there, and I realized that agriculture is the way for me. That's what's going to take me. And so every member, especially Lauren, Gabe, they've taken me in and helped me, guided me along through everything, whether questions with everything, they'll help me.
Yeah, you didn't have to throw Gabe in there just because he's sitting here. I mean, you know, we know the truth.
They're both awesome.
So I want to find out what competitions and things you've been in, but let's get to know Gabe a little bit. Of course, Gabe's name's been heard on this station quite a bit, as well as his older brother, because we cover sports at Rogue River High School. So your name comes off my tongue pretty quickly and easily. But tell me how you got involved with FFA and what your interests are in the program.
All right, yeah. So I actually met Herringshaw my sixth grade year for the first time at CrossFit, ironically, and had no idea who he was. I think the first thing I said to him was, "You lift good." And little did I know, eighth grade year, I had the ability to take a high school elective class, and I had two options. I had art and I had metals. And I was thinking, honestly, about doing art. Most of my friends were going into it, and it's a fine arts credit, which is easy to get out of the way early. But when I saw Herringshaw in the hallway, and I noticed he was the metals teacher, I decided to do that because I knew him already. And from there, you know, he encouraged me to go to a meeting, and that was where it all started. You know, my first FFA meeting, I felt so welcomed. You know, they ushered me to the door, they gave me an agenda, there was food, you know, there was everything was just, you know, it was incredible, and it was unlike any experience I'd had so far in school. And then from there, you know, it kind of took off. I got involved in Beef Feed, one of our biggest fundraisers, got a help, and then my first CDE came where I got to do mechanics, and that was just a huge thing for me to see the competition world of FFA because I love to compete.
No, not you, Gabe.
No way, right?
No, and you're a great competitor. I'll put that out there right here.
Thank you.
If Gabe is in a competition, even if he's badly outmatched, you're going to know you are in a competition when you leave something with Gabe. He leaves it all on the line. And we know that from football broadcasts, for among other things. So before we get back to Ashley, then, let's go ahead and ask you. So which competitions do you compete in, and how have you done, not just this year, but, you know, in your years at Rogue River?
I've done quite a few. The ones that were recurring were my eighth grade year I did mechanics. I've done that all through up to this year, and I'll be doing it again. Freshman year, I did my first natural resources CDE, which was soils. That was a really cool one. And then I got to do creed speaking, which that was an interesting one. It was the first public speaking, and it was no surprise to a lot of people that I like to talk too much. But it was a fun competition to actually use that productively and to learn how to do it correctly and just be a better public speaker, which meant acknowledging the fact that your voice has to, you know, quiet down sometimes. But I think
I haven't learned that lesson yet.
Really? It's a rough one, man. It was a harsh truth.
Well, that's why they let you do stuff like this, because you know, they figure if I'm not going to shut up, they might as well stick a microphone in my face and get some use out of it. So
make it productive. There you go. After that, I went to LDEs. I started doing parliamentary procedure, which was basically a debate contest. And then I think I did meat judging. And, you know, I think those ones are all recurring. I haven't done anything really that new except meat judging. I did that last year, you know, just kind of a side one. And then I got to go to state soils the past 2 years.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about the soils competition here because we kind of didn't get into that as much as I wanted to in that first segment. And in fact, there's a lot of things I would have liked to talk to Andy about that I didn't get to. And in fact, I told him I think we might bring him back because I'd like to talk to him some more. But he had to hustle off to basketball, so we didn't get to that. But going back to something you just said there, the meat judging, that kind of piqued my interest. And I was never in FFA, and as I mentioned in that first segment, I wish I had. I wish I'd discovered it. I'm really impressed with the things you guys do. But what do you get to do for meat judging? First of all, do you get to eat meat?
No, you don't. I mean, you get lunch, but you still have to pay for it.
Like, oh, my goodness. Okay. Never mind then. You leave me out. No, no, but tell me a little bit about that. I'm kind of interested in that.
So that's definitely a very hands-on CDE. There's a few different categories, one of which is just identifying cuts of meat. And that goes like you start with the species. You know, is it lamb? Is it beef? Is it pork? And then you go into where on the body it came from, and you know, like that is, it's not just like, oh, it's a leg, it's an arm, like that, you know, way more anatomy terms. And then even you go into what type of cut it is, you know, like everybody looks at, you know, some beef and they're like, oh, it's a steak. It's like, well, what kind of steak? You know, is it a chop steak? Is it a flank steak? Is it a T-bone? And there's over, I think, 30 different cuts that there can be, you know, and you got to be able to just look at it and know it's this, it's from this part of the body, and this is what type it is. And then from there you do quality grading, which is based off a lot of different features of the meat, you know, age, how much marbling, which is fat between muscle fibers. There's a lot that goes into it. And then finally, the one of the things that I think was my favorite part was you actually did do carcass grading and yield grading, which is what USDA does. And I think the coolest part about that is, you know, you get to go into the giant freezer, you get to see all the carcasses lined up, you get to look up, you get to inspect them, you do ribeye aerated, and you judge them not only by their stature, but like, you don't just look at it and like, the biggest one is the best. A lot of times the biggest one is not the best, and I think that's a lot of things that people don't realize, and you get to go into the full science of it, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is cool, and I it interests me a little bit more than it probably would have, because lately I've been making my own jerky.
Ooh.
And so I've had to learn which cuts are best for that, and
yeah,
it tends to be the leaner cuts, because uh-huh, you don't want a lot of fat, because obviously you're getting all the moisture out, and
yeah,
fat is moisture. But so I'm going to put you on the spot here. One of the cuts that I generally would go get would be like a top round. Where does that come from? Do you know where that comes from?
Ironically, the round.
And what is the round? Is it like, yeah, I can describe
the round
it.
Is,
so
it's kind of the stomach.
Kind of the
yeah,
center section of the cow then.
Yeah.
Okay, see, because I don't know. I know what they're called, but I haven't got the map of the cow out and went, okay, that's where that came from. I just know the butcher told me this is what you want.
Yeah. The round would be kind of the lower end of the stomach area, kind of towards the bottom of the ribs. So
okay,
you get a lot more, you get a lot less fat in general with it. You know, the higher up and the farther out you move, you're getting a lot more fat, because that's the animal's insulation.
Okay, gotcha.
Warm.
Well, and when it comes to steaks and the other things, of course, I like the ones with a little more fat,
yeah,
you know, tri-tip and some other few other cuts. But I think that's cool, and it's a neat thing to learn. Now, you're the only one that's here today that's not a senior. You're a junior.
Yes, that's correct.
And have you given any thought to what you're going to do after high school, or are you still kind of figuring that out?
I thought I had it figured out for sure. I was going to go into the medical field, but, you know, after a lot of the stuff I've done in FFA, I've thought about engineering, the law field. You know, there's so many different options and so many different places to go. I definitely need more time to work it out.
Yeah, and we talked about that in the first segment. I admire those that are realistic enough to know, if you don't have it figured out, don't go get into a ton of student loan debt to go get a 4-year degree that you're not even going to use.
Right.
So yeah, I'm glad that you're examining those things, and I know, you know, the medical field is an interest in your family, so that's an obvious one for you. But I like that you're given that, you know, the kind of thought that it requires. So let's shift back over to Ashley, and we haven't talked about which competitions and things you have done at Rogue River. You mentioned a little bit, but let's talk a little more specifically what you've been doing.
So last year, I kind of, you know, put it off a little bit, was a little bit nervous. And actually, my very first competition last year was the meat judging, like Gabe said, which was awesome. Obviously, on the trip over there, I was like, why did I not start doing this sooner? Why did I put it off? Herringshaw was right. He knew that this was going to be it for me. And so that was just awesome in itself. And I had no idea what to expect going into it. I mean, all the practices we had at lunch and everything that I learned there. But when you go in, it's so much different than what I thought it was going to be. And getting to see all the different individuals there, that was awesome. And I hope to go again this year. That's my plan. And then, obviously, beef feed last year, not a competition, but that was another huge major factor for me. That was like, wow, these kids are awesome. And the community comes out and supports us every single year. And they're there for us.
Well, and you know, it's a funny thing you mentioned that, because since I've been doing Rogue Talk, every year we promote the beef feed. But to be honest with you, I think more people know about the beef feed than I could ever hope to listen to this show, because it's it's very well known in the community. Everybody
yeah,
looks forward to the beef feed. And I actually haven't been yet. I'm going to try and go this year. But I've been to the award ceremony 2 years in a row. And we talked about that in the first segment, that I'm impressed with just how organized our chapter is and how successful they've been in the competitions. Did you say, were you involved in any of the soil judging, or was that?
No, I did a lot of practices through horticulture and stuff like that, but just because jobs and stuff didn't really allow me the time to go to competition. I wish that I would have. It's awesome. We did amazing this year, and I'm super proud of our team.
Yeah, so we're going to get back to Laura for just a second, because we did mention the soils competition, and we qualified for a national competition. Is that right, Laura?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. This year, we competed back in October. We went to the state competition, and our team took first. So this is going to be the first time that Rogue River has a national team. So Gabe's on the team with me, and Andy, and then my younger sister. So we all have the opportunity to go to Oklahoma in May for that competition.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to see how we do in that. I've been covering, you know, your guys' competitions all through the school year, and when I saw that pop up on Facebook, I was like, wow, that's super cool. And excuse me. Sorry about that. And so we're going to definitely keep paying attention to that, and I don't want to run out of time. And again, I could talk to you guys. I said this in the first break. I could keep you guys here for hours. We could talk all the way up until tip off of the basketball, and I'd be happy with that. But we do have to talk about the beef feed. That was the reason you're here. So who wants to give me kind of the rundown on the beef feed? Who's our you guys don't fight over the microphone. It's okay. You can all talk.
I'll talk about it, and then Gabe can pick up, and then Ashley can add in. But, yeah, the Beef Feed is our biggest fundraiser, and it's honestly my favorite event of the year. We get to see so many people come out and help us and contribute and support. So this year it's going to be on Saturday, February 2nd. It's going to be in the big gym of the high school, and the schedule of the night, we're going to have the silent auction start at 5 o'clock, and then 5:45 we'll go to dinner, and then 6:30 the oral auction will start. So for those of you who haven't been to the beef feed, it's basically this dinner and auction where we auction off a bunch of different items, and it's a chance for the community to come out, see everyone in their official dress, and just support the chapter.
All right, and do we know what the cost is to go to the beef feed?
Yeah, it's around $15 for dinner, and then all your auction items, you know, that'll depend on
the bid, sure.
But I think, you know, it's so, the meal is amazing. Herring Shaw cooks our tri-tip, and he's just an incredible cook. And I think that every year, sometimes the members get to eat. Usually we do after, and I think that, man, that's one of the highlights of the night is getting to try that tri-tip.
Yeah, and tri-tip is one of my favorites. I'm looking forward to that. I can tell you, going to the awards night, the food is amazing at the awards night. So if it's you know, equal to that, and it'll be better because, I mean, let's be honest, tri-tip's better than pork. I don't care who you are. Tri-tip is better. It should be amazing. So it's $15. And then, of course, there's the silent auction, the oral auction. Are you still in need of items for any of the auctions? Are you still taking donations, or are you got what you need?
Always taking help for donations. You know, we get a lot of people around the community that go out and do it, help us with it. A lot of members go out and do it. And I think that's one of the bigger parts of Beef Feed is everything is so fine detailed, and it's, you know, it's a fundraiser, but it's also an opportunity to learn for a lot of members. You know, they get to learn how to approach people about donations, how to approach businesses, you know, because they're not always, you know, not everyone wants to give you free stuff. But I think that when you approach it with the manner that we do, it's in a polite manner, respectful manner. We're not, you know, begging for things. We're just trying to be like, hey, this is something we do to support our members so they can do incredible things that will make them better people. And a lot of businesses are on board to support that.
All right, and Ashley, your first beef feed was last year, so what are you looking forward to for this year's beef feed?
I'm just looking forward to seeing everyone come out. We want as many people out there as we possibly can. Anyone who supports us, come out. It's awesome. It's an awesome experience within itself. You get to see what we do, and all this money obviously goes to supporting our chapter in itself. And I'm looking forward to the food, if I'm being honest. No.
Absolutely.
It's a great experience, and the setup days are always fun. Just kind of seeing it get to be built up, and then the final night.
Yeah, it's got to be fun to see it from the early planning stages all the way to the night, of it happening, and then you guys eating after everybody goes home, you guys sit down and eat. It's probably fun to kind of recap the night with one another and go see how successful that all of your hard work, you know, turns into a great, great success. And so you said this is the biggest fundraiser you guys have, right?
Without a doubt.
So I want to encourage for the like three or four of you that don't already go to this, you need to go. It's a great event. Again, February 2nd is a Saturday. It'll be in the main gym at the junior senior high school. $15 a person, and then make sure there's a little extra money in that account so that you can participate in the auctions. There's both a silent auction and a live auction. And it's for a great cause. And I'm realizing we got the numbers a little bit wrong earlier. What is the numbers of members right now?
Currently, the chapter has 176 members on our roster, and we are the fifth biggest chapter in the state with that roster.
And our school only has how many kids? Two.
High school has 200 and I think 11.
Wow. So we really, I mean, now are there's middle schoolers in FFA as well?
Yes, we have one this year.
Oh, okay.
There's always a few.
So it's mainly high schoolers.
Yes.
So more than half of our school is involved in FFA. I got it way wrong. I said about a third, I think, and I had it way off. So this program is worth your time. It's worth your money. I probably shouldn't say this out loud because I haven't made a decision on it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been invited to be part of the alumni program. I'm honored just to be asked, and I'm giving it a lot of thought. I love being involved. I'll be honest with you, there's more personal reasons than reasons of interest, because I love being involved with your guys' program, and I look forward to this year's B-Feed being a huge success. We're about to the point where we've got to take a break, but if you guys want to stay with us, we've got to recap the sports from last week, and then we've been, because of the NFL playoffs, we've been having some fun and picking the games. Would you guys like to pick games with us?
Sure.
Can you hang out a few more minutes? Cool. Then we're gonna. Hey, believe me, you don't have to know anything about football, and we know Gabe knows nothing about football. So,
yeah.
So it makes it more fun when you don't know. So we're gonna take a break here, and then we will come back and talk to our friends from the FFA just a little bit more. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says he will make a major announcement on the government shutdown and the southern border on Saturday afternoon from the White House. Mr. Trump and Democrats in Congress remain far apart over Mr. Trump's insistence on funding for a wall along the Mexico border as the price of reopening the government. The two sides have traded taunts and avoided talks so far. The president says the announcement will take place at 3 p.m. Eastern time. He says the announcement involves the humanitarian crisis on our southern border. The political stakes are high as the shutdown moves into a fifth week, with hundreds of thousands of federal workers going without pay and no outward signs of resolution. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 336 points to 24,706. The NASDAQ rose 73. The S&P advanced 35. Oil up to $53.83 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Rogue Talk. And we skipped all the news and the sports, and I want to make sure I get that in. I don't have any news to report to you, which is good for a lot of you listeners, because that means I won't get on my soapbox. But I do have some sports to report, so let's take a look. First of all, I mentioned last week I didn't have any results to report because I just didn't have the information in front of me. But our wrestling team is killing it, and Gabe's a part of that team. Andy's a part of the team. I wish Andy was still here with us. But you guys had a home meet this last weekend, or the previous weekend, and you guys killed it. There was 14 teams at the meet, and you finished second. And before I give the rest of the results, go ahead and tell us how you did, Gabe.
I took first for my weight class. I think I had 9 kids, including Andy, who did amazing. And I'd seen the kid I wrestled in finals, Lucindo Gable from St. Bernard. I had seen him before at one of the other tournaments, and he got seated above me because he placed higher at me at one of the tournaments. That was at Del Norte's home tournament. So I think it was really cool to see not only me, that's my first championship win, which was amazing. But I think not only that, but beat a kid who was supposed to be better than me. He was seated higher than me.
Yeah, that's always fun. My last year of wrestling, when I won what would be like a conference championship, the kid that I beat in the championship match was a coach's kid, and he'd been wrestling way longer than I had, and I had a broken toe, and I beat this kid, and there was no more joy than beating the kid that he comes out on the mat and thinks that this match is over. I'm way better than this guy. I'm going to win. And he didn't win. And it was like, that was probably the highlight
of
my,
pretty great moments.
Those are fun. Those are fun. Well, congratulations. First place. And that was at 220. And let's look at some of the other results. And here's a guy that has just been killing it this year. He's another transfer, Dylan Hauser. Mm-hmm. He was first place at 182. He was named outstanding heavyweight of the tournament. So, and again, I think that's the second time he's been picked as one of the outstanding wrestlers in a tournament this year. So Dylan Hauser's killing it. And also a winner or a champion at that tournament, Danny Herrings, Andy's brother. And he was the champion at 285, and apparently he beat Derek Nelson, who finished second at 285, so taking the top two spots. It's got to be tough, though, wrestling against your own teammate
in
a tournament.
Is.
Yeah, so that was our second-place finisher, Derek Nelson. Grant Fehrenbacher was third at 152. Sebastian Poston was fourth at 132. Caden Tognoni, another one that plays basketball as well as does wrestling, was fourth at 152. Andy, of course, plays basketball and wrestles. He was fourth at 220, which means he lost out to Gabe here. And Carson Smith was fifth at 145. Charlie Smith was fifth at 160, and Tristan Spaeth was fifth at 195. So a great job. Second place finish out of 14 teams. Our wrestling team is just doing awesome this year, and we will keep following them. And Gabe invited me to come to the conference tournament, and I'm going to definitely make an attempt to get to that. It's at Rogue River this year, so when that comes up, we will definitely tell you about that right here. And let's look at basketball. Girls basketball currently has a 9-6 overall record, 2-2 in the conference, and they're ranked 27th in the state. They won last Friday 49-30 against Butte Falls, but then they lost on Tuesday 44-50 at Illinois Valley. And as the play-by-play announcer for basketball, I can tell you, I think you're going to see a different result when Ivy comes to Rogue River, because the girls didn't really have their best performance against Ivy, and I think it'll be a little bit different when they come here. Our girls team has really been playing well, and they played really good at the end of that game, but it was a little too late. Laura knows, she's on the basketball team, and yeah, I get to say her name a lot. She does a great job down in the post, so does Andy. And again, Andy's not here, and I promised Andy I would bring him back because I'd like to hear more about his other interests other than FFA. And moving over to the boys basketball, the boys, unfortunately, with a two-game losing streak, they lost to Butte Falls 52-85, and then lost to Illinois Valley 62-77. And again, they kind of did the same as the girls did. They played really good down the stretch, but it was too little too late. They weren't able to come back in that game. Both teams will be at home tonight. Girls will be at 6 o'clock. Boys at 7:30 against the Lakeview Honkers, and you don't want to lose to a team whose nickname is the Honkers. I'm sorry, you just don't. So
no pressure.
So we're gonna be so we're gonna want to be winning those games tonight, and then the girls play again Tuesday at Bonanza. The boys have Tuesday off. The Bonanza Antlers do not have a boys team, so it'll just be girls. That'll be at 6 o'clock, and all of these games will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And before we run out of time, that's it for all the sports. Oh, I forgot to mention the wrestlers wrestle again tomorrow at Bonanza. Wrestling starts at 10 a.m., so if wrestling's your sport, Bonanza's not that far. The weather's a little rough, but this is a warm storm, so there's not supposed to be much, if any, snow. So head on over to Bonanza tomorrow. Wrestling tournaments are a lot of fun, and I've been to more than my share in my life, and they are a blast. So head over to Bonanza and check out the wrestlers. We've got a great team, and I'm sure they've got to be fun to watch. I look forward to getting to see them as soon as possible. So that's what's going on in Chieftain Sports, and I'm going to get Hunter to come over here. He can share a microphone with me. We got so many people in the studio, we're running out of microphones. So Hunter, we're going to pick these NFL games, and we've got these rookies over here that are going to try and outpick us this week. So first game is the Rams at the Saints. Saints are a 3.5-point favorite. What do you think about the Rams and the Saints?
I think the Rams are going to win.
You're picking the Rams, so the Saints are favored by 3.5. Why do you think the Rams are going to win?
I just think they're such a better team.
You think the Rams. Well, I'll tell you what, I am also going to pick the Rams. And so let's now don't go off our picks, because we're not very good at this. We act like we know what we're talking about, but we don't. So what do you think, Laura, Rams or Saints?
I have no clue, so I'm going to go against you. I'll go with the Saints.
Okay, Laura's going with the Saints. What about you, Ashley?
You know, I think I'll take the Rams.
I think that's a good pick.
I'm just lowballing it right now.
and I'm going to say the Rams, when they're at their best, are almost unbeatable, because their offense is just so efficient. But when they're not playing well, they're very beatable. So it could be an interesting game. What do you think, Gabe?
You know, I have to go with the Saints. The only reason why is they're in my division, and I understand from playing them that at home, it's such a different story. And, you know, I love Todd Gurley. He's an incredible running back. He is killing it for the Rams. But I think the Saints, you know, they've got a well-rounded team, and I think that their defensive ends are going to pinch down hard on you guys' offense.
Well, and whenever I've picked games where I said, you know, the defense may be the difference in this one, I've lost, and I don't know why, because usually that's what it is. And the Saints, I do think, have the better defense. So, but we'll see. That's going to be a fun one, and we got picks on both sides. That always makes it more fun for us. So the other game is the Patriots at the Chiefs, and I mean, the Chiefs have been a huge surprise this year, thanks to their rookie quarterback. Chiefs are favored by 3. Hunter, tell me what you think.
I believe the Chiefs are going to win.
Now, why do you think the Chiefs will win?
I just think their rookie quarterback or second-year quarterback is going to pull it out for them.
Yeah, I guess he is a second-year guy. He feels like a rookie, though, and he's come on like gangbusters. So, Hunter, you're picking the Chiefs? Is that right? Okay, so Hunter's picking the Chiefs. I'm always sorry when I pick against the Patriots, but I can't stand the Patriots. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. And so let's go back to Laura. Laura, what do you think? Which one do you like better, Patriots?
I guess I'll go with you. I'll do the Chiefs.
Chiefs, I think that's a good pick. I'm gonna stick with that one. I'm wavering a little, because the Patriots are always good in the playoffs. But Ashley, what do you think?
Well, I know my dad would be upset with me if I chose the Patriots. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Well, you know what? Most dads would be upset with you for picking the Patriots. So unless you live in New England or you're a big New England fan like one of our staff at the school, I won't mention any names, but she's been on the show twice. That's the only Pats fan I know. So who do you got, Gabe?
I gotta give you the Pats on this one.
Yeah, I kind of figured you might be leaning that way.
You know, Belichick's, you know, I think it's one of his last years, and same with Brady. I think they're nearing towards an end, but they got it.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in. Ashley, Gabe, Laura, and Andy. And everybody, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.